Now, as has been announced, the title of our message tonight is Marriage, What Saith the Scriptures. Now, speaking upon the subject of marriage in a bygone day, Bishop J.C. Ryle said that the marriage relation, lies at the very root of the social systems of the nations. Bishop Ryle was the first Protestant bishop of Liverpool, a faithful servant of the Lord, indeed a man that we would do well to heed, and I believe a man that we would ignore to our peril. And with those words here, he was really highlighting the importance of marriage for any particular society upon the face of this world. Now, marriage is really one of the oldest human institutions that there is in this world. My, it is older than the church on earth itself. It is older than any form of human government. And we read about the institution of marriage itself here in our Bible reading tonight at Genesis chapter 2. Right at the very beginning of time, right at the very dawn of creation. Sadly, we live in a day of declining moral standards. And the consequence of that is that the institution of marriage, as defined in God's Word, is being eroded more and more and is being attacked more and more. And we see this to be especially the case with the introduction of a new law here into Northern Ireland that redefines marriage. This law came into effect on midnight, the 21st of October this year, and really means that the marriage of sodomite couples is now legal in our province. A sodomite couple is two people of the same gender in a relationship with each other. Now, in the media, and indeed in the wider public domain and public arena, the passing of such a law is being celebrated with success and being talked about as progress for Northern Ireland. Many in the wider public domain will say that it is for the good of our province. It is something that is to be accepted and to be promoted by all, especially among the youth and the young people of our land. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, because this law that redefines marriage is a law that flies in the very face of God and the Word of God. It is a law that is completely contrary to the institution of marriage as is defined by the Word of God. It is something that God's people cannot accept. Indeed, it is something that God's people must never accept. Indeed, it is something that the Free Presbyterian Church and the Free Presbyterian denomination must always reject and must always oppose. And that being the case, then I want us just tonight to look at the teaching on marriage that we find in the Word of God. Dear people, tonight, as we think of this subject tonight, we must be anchored not to man's ideals or our man's thinking, no. You and I must be anchored to the Word of God and what saith the Scriptures. For if we turn our back upon the Word of God, we do so to our peril. And we will make shipwreck if we break anchor with the Word of the Lord. And that being the case, then what then does the Bible have to teach us and tell us about marriage? Well, first of all, as we think about that, I want us to look just at the meaning of marriage as it is outlined for us in the Word of God. Marriage, yes, is an institution that was ordained of God at the beginning of time, before the fall of man, even before man fell into sin. And Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 25, or our Bible reading tonight, really records for us the first marriage upon God's earth. After creating man, Adam, the first man, look at verse 18, it says there of the chapter, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." This helpmeet was to be Eve, Adam's wife. And in creating Eve, what did God do? He caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And from the side of Adam, God took a rib and he made Eve the wife of Adam. From that day forth, look at verse 22 down to verse 24 of the chapter. It says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And people, here we see from the very beginning of time, we see that God's way for marriage is one man to one woman in covenant relationship together. If you go back to chapter 1 of the book of Genesis and the verse number 27, there you see then you read about the creation of mankind. And I want you to see what it says there in verse 27 of Genesis chapter 1. It says, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." You'll notice something there very important, that at the creation of mankind, God created two distinct, definite genders, male and female, two genders that are different, two genders that are distinct. And people, this is very important when we think of the age in which we live and what we hear so much now on the media regarding the matter of transgenderism. My transgenderism, all it is but a perverse, a sinful ideology of sinful man. There's really no such thing. Because God has created mankind with two distinct natures, male and female, man and woman. And in the institution of marriage, there's a joining together of one man with one woman. This is God's ordinance of marriage as defined and outlined for us in the Word of God. Yes, we see the meaning of marriage as outlined in the Scriptures. But as we move on tonight, I want us to look secondly at the purpose of marriage as is outlined for us in the Word of God. Well, the Bible would show us that through a loving relationship, marriage is for the good and for the mutual benefit of both husband and wife together within the marriage bond. And we're reminded of that very fact through what Solomon tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, in the verses 9 and 10, when he says there, "Two are better than one, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow." And the thought there is, when there's two together, one encourages the other. And it shows us in the context of marriage that it is for the good and the mutual benefit of husband and wife to encourage and help one another along in life. You think of what the Bible says about Isaac whenever he took Rebekah to be his wife. Following the passing of his mother, Genesis chapter 24, verse 67 says, "Isaac was comforted." In other words, his marriage to Rebekah was a blessing to him after the passing of his own mother. Again, you have Peter speaking about marriage and husbands and wives in 1 Peter chapter 3 in the verse number 7. And this is what he says. He says, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with him," in other words, with their wives, "according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." The thought here again is of the husband being a help to his wife, the weaker vessel in the bond of marriage as they live together. People, despite what the world says, despite what man may think, through a loving relationship, marriage is for the good. The Bible makes it very clear, for the good and the mutual benefit of both husband and wife. It's for their good. Also, the Bible would show us that marriage is for the procreation of children and the establishment of a home for children where happiness and joy can reign in the fear of the Lord. Look again at what is said there about man in Genesis chapter 1 and the verse number 28. It concerns God's creation of the man and the woman. And notice what it says. It says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. It speaks here of the procreation of children within the bond of marriage and the home. Again, in Ephesians chapter 6 and the verse number 4, it speaks there of the duty of fathers, indeed of parents, to their children. And it says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. My marriage is for the rearing of children in a godly environment where the fear of God is known and where joy is known in the things of the Lord. And also marriage is for the good and the stability of society. Think of what the Apostle Paul says about marriage in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. He says there that marriage is honorable in all. And that word honorable, it really means that which is precious, that which has a good reputation. Thus the thought there is that the marriage of one man to one woman, it is for the good reputation of every society, every land, and every nation. And also the Bible would show us that marriage is for the good of Christ's church on earth. In the prophecy of Malachi, chapter number 2, the prophet Malachi there is warning against unfaithfulness in marriage. And he also speaks there of the purpose of marriage in verse 15 of that same chapter when he says of God that he might seek a godly seed. And that seed there speaks of the church of Christ. Thus the thought there is that a strong marriage bond and a strong home and a strong family is used and blessed of God to the strengthening, indeed to the extension of the church of Christ, even here on earth, such is the blessing of God upon it and the purpose of God for it. Turn with me over to Psalm number 78 and the verses 4 to 7, and you'll see that thought again very clearly outlined by the psalmist as he speaks here of parents teaching their children the things of God. What for? So that the children, the generation to come, might set their hope in God. And no doubt the church of Christ be strengthened and blessed and extended through a godly marriage, a godly home where children are taught the ways of God. Look at Psalm 78 and the verses 4 to 7. It says about the things of God, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come that the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He have done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And there you see very clearly that one of the great purposes of marriage and a home and family and children is for the strengthening, the forwarding of the work of God and the church of Christ on earth. As we see the meaning of marriage, we see the purpose of marriage. But thirdly, as we move on tonight, I want us also to notice the attack upon marriage as it is outlined in the Bible. And that is something that's very much to the fore in the day and generation in which we live. As you read your Bible, you'll see that one of the names that is given to Satan in the Bible is Apollyon. You find that in Revelation chapter 9 and the verse number 11. That's a Greek word. And what does it literally mean? It means destroyer. And my Satan's aim is to destroy. That's his whole strategy from the dawn of time. To destroy and to wreck everything that is of God. And this, of course, includes God's institution of marriage. And that's the devil's purpose and goal, to wreck and to destroy the institution of marriage as ordained by God. How does Satan go about that work? Well, Satan, he attacks God's institution of marriage by tempting people to live together in the immoral lifestyle of fornication outside of the covenant of marriage. Well, such a lifestyle, the Bible makes it very clear, is condemned by God. And it is warned against by God in His holy word. You remember what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3. He says, "Therefore, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto to holiness." And there the word of God warns very clearly and definitely against such relationships outside of the bond of marriage. Also, Satan is one who attacks marriage by the sin of adultery. Whenever one partner in the marriage is unfaithful and breaks the marriage covenant and has a relationship with someone else. And again, God condemns such sin, and he warns against it many, many occasions in the Word of God. And you have that forthright warning in the seventh commandment where it says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." You think of David in the Old Testament. Read of a very dark blot in the life of David when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he paid a very, very high price, both in his own life, the life of his family, the life of the nation, and all that concerned him because of that sin of committing adultery with Bathsheba. Then we can say further tonight that Satan also attacks marriage by the unequal yoke. What is the unequal yoke? Well, this is whenever a believer marries an unbeliever. And my, whenever this happens, the unbeliever will bring the believer down. They will bar and hinder their testimony and their usefulness and their service for God. And again, this is something that God's Word warns against. It warns against the unequal yoke in marriage. Turn with me your Bible over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse number 14, and you'll see this warning very clearly spelled out in the Word of God about against the unequal yoke in marriage. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse number 14. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Don't be joined up in marriage with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness? The Word of God makes it very clear. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I remember many years ago when I went to the working convoy doing the doors one afternoon. One Monday afternoon, if my mind serves me right, I met this lady on the doors. She told me she was a Christian, that she was a believer, that she was a child of God, but that she had married an unbeliever. She knew she had done something she should not have done. And I remember her telling me with tears as we're tripping down her cheeks of how it had hindered her in her service for God and her witness for God and in her testimony for God. She had to live with the consequences of that decision all the rest of her life. Young people in our meeting tonight, let me say this, that whenever you are saved, do not go down the road of marrying someone who is unsaved. God says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. When it comes, dear child of God, young person or meeting, to seeking a partner for life, you pray about that matter. You ask the Lord to lead you to a godly partner in life. You ask the Lord to bring that godly partner in life into your life and the providence of God. You'll notice something very clearly spelled out there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, about Adam and Eve and his relationship with Eve. Notice what it says there about Eve at the very end of verse number 22. It says, "And the Lord brought her unto the man." The Lord brought her across the path of Eve. Young man, young believer, and looking for a wife, pray that God will bring the right lady across your path. Young Christian girl in her meeting tonight and looking for a future husband, pray that God will bring the right man across your path in the will and the providence of God. And my God will bless you, and He will use you together as husband and wife for His honor in the service of God and in the cause of the Master. Yes, these are some of the ways in which Satan attacks the institution of marriage. But you know, there's another tool as well of the devil that he employs to attack the institution of marriage. That is the sin of sodomy. And such sin is going to be promoted more and more in Northern Ireland by this new law legalizing the marriage of those who are involved in such relationships. In Romans chapter 13 and the verse number 3, we are told there that the government is to be a terror to evildoers. Under God, that's the role of the government, to be a terror to evildoers. In other words, it is to prevent evil, be against evil. While by this new law, what has our parliament done? What is it going to do? It is going to promote further evil and sin in our society. By this new law that they brought in, they're going to promote more evil, more sin in our society, and for this they will most surely be judged by God. You see, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, and the verse number 9, God has a word of warning to those who go against His word and His decrees. And it says there, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And this act passed by our parliament will incur the judgment of God upon our parliament. Is it any wonder there's such confusion in our parliament at this time? I believe it's a mark of God's judgment upon our parliament because of its ungodliness and the ungodly laws that it promotes and, as it were, shakes its fist at God, so to speak, in passing of such laws. Also, the promotion of this law will be detrimental to our land, detrimental to every part of our society, especially the young, especially the children, especially the young people. Listen to what the Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 14 and the verse number 34. It says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. What does that mean? It really means that sin brings a nation down. When it says our sin is a reproach to any nation, it really means that sin brings a nation down. And this law will bring our nation down. This law will bring our province down. Because God's word will always come to pass. People, despite what man thinks, despite what man says, sodomy is a sin that God abhors. In our shorter catechism, number 83, it talks there about some sins being more heinous than others in the sight of God. Well, sodomy is one of those sins. Listen to what the Bible says about that particular sin. In Leviticus 18, verse number 22, it says there, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. And that word abomination means to abhor. And that applies to men with men and women with women. My God's abhorrence of this sin is seen in the fact that those who persist in it, they are given over, the Bible says, by God. Given over by God to a reprobate mind, to all manner of uncleanness. In other words, such are abandoned by God and rejected by God. And by their conscience is seared and all moral restraint is removed from them and from their conscience. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches. Turning your Bible over to the New Testament book of Romans. Romans chapter number 1. And you'll see this for yourself. Romans chapter number 1. There's no new thing under the sun. God has a word to say to us about this particular sin that has been promoted so much in our society today. Romans chapter 1 and the verse number 26 to verse number 28. Look at what the Word of God says about this particular sin. It says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God, notice it, gave them over, gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. In other words, they were cast away by God. Their mind was void of all moral restraint and all moral compass whatsoever. Here we see the awful consequences of this sin that has been promoted by our parliament and by our society so much today. And people, such it was God's displeasure upon the cities of the plea and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for this particular sin in the day of Lot. What does it say in Genesis 19, verse 24, verse 25? It says, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground." That was God's verdict upon that sin that was so prevalent in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Lot. This sin that has been promoted by our parliament and by our society so much at large today. People, when you think about this, remember what the Bible says. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." God's people are to abstain from every appearance of evil and sin, whatever it is. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says to the believer, "Be not conformed to this world." And what that really means is that the children of God, the child of God, is not to be, as it were, browbeaten into accepting the Antichrist spirit and the evils and the sins of this evil and ungodly world. In other words, the Christian is to swim against the flow, so to speak, by their life, by their testimony, by their beliefs, and by their actions. You think of how the salmon swims up the river in springtime against the flow. That's how we are to live who are saved as God's people. We're to live against the flow of this evil and ungodly world. Child of God, in the meeting tonight, let me say this. God's Word teaches you and I as believers that we cannot support, nor can we promote or condone in any way this new law and the redefinement of marriage in Northern Ireland. We cannot support it, condone it, or promote it in any shape or fashion whatsoever. That's the teaching of the Word of God for God's people and the Church of Christ. And that leads us just to one final thought tonight, and the thought is this: the picture of marriage as outlined in the Bible. You see, God's institution of marriage as outlined in the Bible, it sets forth before us a beautiful picture. What is that picture? That picture is one of the glorious union that Christ has with a saved, redeemed people here on earth. And if you turn with me in your Bible over to Ephesians chapter number 5, in particular to verses 22 and 23 and 25, here you'll see this union, this glorious union portrayed through marriage, the union of Christ with his people. It is set forth through the bond of marriage. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse number 22. Paul here is writing to God's people about marriage, to husbands and wives, matters that concern the home, the family. He says in verse 22 of Ephesians 5, he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And as you look at those verses and, as it were, just stand back at them and group them all together, you see there the picture that is portrayed by Paul in marriage is setting forth the glorious union that Christ has with his own redeemed people, the church of Christ on earth. We're told there, just as the believer is to be submissive to Christ, the head of the church, the head of the body of God's believing people, so we're told there that the wife is to be submissive to her own husband in the Lord. And also we're shown there and we're told there that as Christ loves his church, and he loves his church with an eternal love, a forgiving love, a sacrificial love, so every husband also is to love his own wife with that same love, a love that is lasting, a love that is forgiving, and a love that is sacrificial. People in our meeting tonight, here we see how marriage portrays. And this is the great gospel picture here in marriage. It portrays Christ's redemptive love and union with all his people. And I believe that's one of the reasons why the devil is so opposed to marriage. Because God has ordained it as a picture, a gospel picture, of how Christ loves his church and how he gave himself for his church. And how he is united eternally with his church for all of the countless years of eternity to come. And dear people of God in the meeting tonight, when you and I, when we stand for God's institution of marriage, and when we seek to do all we can to promote that institution of marriage as is defined and outlined in the Word of God, what are we doing as God's people? We're honoring the Lord. We're honoring our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're testifying, we're showing to the world that wonderful love, that wonderful union that Christ has for his people in the salvation of lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. And my, that is the glorious picture that is portrayed through the bond and through the institution of marriage. As we would conclude our message tonight, is there any hope for those who are caught up in the sin of sodomy? Yes, there is hope. There is salvation. There is deliverance if they repent of their sin, turn from their sin and forsake it, and trust Christ as their Savior, and have their sins cleansed away by the precious blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. What does it say in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7? It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It says in verse 9 of that chapter, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. People, let us not miss the fact that this was the case with certain believers that we read about in the church in Corinth on the day of the Apostle Paul. Turn with me in your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And look at what Paul says here in verses 9, 10, and 11 of the chapter. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And here in verse 9, he's dealing with the unrepentant sinner. He says, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves, of mankind, that's those caught up in the sin of sodomy, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then look at what he says in the very next verse. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There were those in the church at Corinth in their unsaved, unrepentant days had been caught up in those sins that Paul lists prior to verse 11 and verse number 9. Realizing their sinnership before God, they repented of their sins, they turned from their sins, they forsook their sins and turned to Christ and trusted in him. It says they were washed, their sins were dealt with, put away by the blood of the cross. They were justified. They were forgiven in the sight of God. And it says, by the Spirit of our God, they were born again of God the Holy Ghost. That's the power, dear people, of the gospel. Whatever man's sin is, there's power, there's hope for that sinner in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I speaking to one in the meeting tonight and you're in this gallery? Yes, you want to be saved from your sin, whatever that sin is. You want to be liberated, as were, from the prison house of sin. You want to know your sins forgiven. You want to be saved from a lost eternity in hell and sure of heaven. Dear friend, to know and to experience such blessing, the blessing of salvation, the Bible makes it very clear there's a way you must come. You too must repent of your sin before God. Confess your sin to the Lord. Turn from it. Turn by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And call upon Him for your salvation. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As you think of marriage tonight and see that glorious picture of the union that Christ has with His people, let me ask in closing, are you part of that union? Are you part of the body of Christ, the church of Christ on earth? Oh, if you are to be part of His body in heaven and glory, you must be united to His body here on earth, becoming as a repentant sinner unto Christ and trusting Him and owning Him and embracing Him as your own and personal Savior. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, may God help you to come and to trust Christ, whom to know is life eternal. We're going to conclude our meeting tonight.